This quiet is so nice. You guys, let me open in prayer. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Father, I just pray this morning that we will really grasp how much you see us, how much you love us, how much you pursue us, and Father, that we will respond to that love. Thank you for this psalm. Thank you for all the psalms. Thank you for your word. And Father, just thank you for the opportunity just for us to be here together, to learn from each other, but mostly to learn from you. Lord, we love you, and we just give you this time in your son's name. Amen. Okay, I have a strange question before we start, and you don't have to share the answer with anybody because it's vulnerable. I'm serious. It's vulnerable, and I'm going to tell you the answer to mine, but you do not have to tell anybody the answer to yours. When in your life have you suffered in silence? What event or ongoing wound caused you to tell yourself, nobody knows what I'm going through? It could be something that happened to you when you were younger. Could be an ongoing insecurity that you struggle with now. You could be in a really hard marriage. You could have a wayward child. But it is definitely something that you tell yourself, nobody gets it. Nobody knows how I really feel. It is in this experience that you feel so alone, and you know it's way too risky to share it with anybody else, because people in the past have not really listened to your hurts. They were not careful with your feelings, and you decided, nope, I'm going to stuff it. I'm not going to share it with anybody. This is what is so beautiful about the Psalms. Christina, when we opened up, talked about it was the Psalms that got her through the loss of Judson, because it's a place that gives voice to our emotions. It gives validation to what we're feeling. God has made us emotional beings. I know men think we're more emotional than they are. And yet we think as Christians we shouldn't be emotional. So over the years I've heard women say, oh, I shouldn't be discouraged. I'm a Christian. I shouldn't be mad. I love Jesus. If I trust God, I shouldn't be discouraged. And I want to scream, have you read the Psalms? Psalms are raw and real, and we get to be raw and real. Psalm 25, I am lonely and afflicted. Psalm 31, my life is spent in sorrow. Psalm 38, I am sorry for my sin. And then, of course, there's the expression of happier emotions. Psalm 9:2, I will exalt and be glad in the Lord. Psalm 4:8, in peace I will both lie down and sleep. But more explicitly than any other books in the Bible, the Psalms are designed to awaken our emotions, but as they give us instruction. So we don't get to just express all of our feelings, our sadnesses, our joy, our loneliness, but the most critical part is we learn to view them against the backdrop of divine truth. Yes to your emotions, yes to your feelings, especially the feelings that that experience that you all identified in your head, the feelings that that experience brought you, but makes all of this so different from the sorrows of the world is that all of it, absolutely all of it, has to be experienced in relationship to our sovereign Heavenly Father. So what do we see in Psalm 139? This Heavenly Father knows every detail about us. There is not one word or thought that he does not see. David says, you know when I sit and when I rise. You know my going out. You know my coming in. You perceive all my thoughts from afar. God is everywhere we are. He is omnipresent. This reminds me of the children's book, The Runaway Bunny. It's a book we probably all read to our children. It's been in print for about 70 years. The baby bunny says to his mother, I will run away. And the mother says, I will run after you because you are my bunny. He says, I will become a rock high on a mountain. The mother says, I will become a mountain climber and I will find you. Okay, my husband, being a psychologist, always said, this sounds like a very intrusive mother, but Nothing like a shrink to ruin a sweet kid's story. The entire book is about this mother looking for her bunny to hold him and keep him safe. This is our story. This is God's story. The bunny starts out, "I will run away." David says, "Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. To the depths, you are there." The point is, God is inescapable, and he is pursuing us. He's pursuing me. He's pursuing you. Yet, we still try to hide. We try to hide because of shame. We try to hide because we're embarrassed. We try to hide because of our guilt. Why do you hide? I think this is a serious question. Why do I hide? I hope we each have an answer for that. Our 18-month-old granddaughter, yeah, I can work her into any talk. She likes to hide. Well, she's very young, so her way of hiding is we all sit on the couch together, and she just turns her face to the back of the couch, and she thinks we can't see her. So, of course, we're all going, "Oh, where's Paige? Where's Paige? Oh, here I am," you know. We sent a video of this to our daughter, her aunt, who lives in Montana. She says, "Well, she's cute, but she's not a very good hider." And I said, "You know what? We're not good hiders either." It reminds me what I think is the most ridiculous visualization in the Bible is Adam and Eve hiding from the God of creation. This is after they have sinned. They are crouching behind a bush with fig leaves, hiding from God. Well, God plays the game like we do with an 18-month-old. "Gee, where are you?" Like he doesn't know. I want to enter into this picture and say, he can still see you. But because of our fear of really facing God with who we really are, we play this game. Psalm 139, "When I rise up and when I lie down, you are there." You cannot hide from God. That's not the only important fact. You don't want to hide from God. He is the only one that can heal you from all those reasons that you do not want to be seen. How many of your insecurities, your hurts, your fears do you honestly bring to God? Are you using your own form of fig leaves, hoping he won't see your real self? Your deepest, darkest, ugliest thoughts? What do you hide behind? A good Christian image? Lots of good works? Successful family? Teaching Bible study? We think these shield his view of who we really are. Well, they're about as effective as those fig leaves or a toddler just turning her face. Are you afraid that God is waiting to catch you and you're going to be in trouble? That you're finally going to get the punishment you deserve if he really sees who you are? If we are too ashamed to bear ourselves before God, then we have a distorted view of God. Yes. Psalms isn't just about our emotions and expressing our emotions, but about our God who sees it all, knows it all, the good, the bad, the ugly, and is still crazy for us. In our sin, this is exactly what Satan wants us to do. He doesn't want us to know how much God loves us. He wants us to hide from him behind our fig leaves. Satan is the author of this hiding game. He'll do anything to break this intimacy that God is fighting so hard for us to enjoy. We mattered to God before anyone else even knew us, before we had breath. David says, "Yes, I formed you. I formed your inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb." That is just an amazing thought. While he was creating us, David says, "How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God." So many thoughts. How great is the sum of them? If I counted them, they would be more than the sand. God looked at every detail of who we were, and he loved what he saw. He calls us the apple of his eye. He delights in you and me. He thought we were worth dying for. And from conception to today, he's never stopped looking at us with such love and compassion. There is never a time we are unseen by him. Where can I go from your spirit? This is the intimacy for which we were knit together for, to be totally known and totally, totally loved. It's what we're all craving. Why do we run from it? So how do you visualize this intimacy with God? What image really comes to your mind? You say, Jesus knows me, Jesus hears me, Jesus with me every moment. What are you picturing? This is one of the reasons God sent Jesus, besides saving us, of course. So we have a visible image of who God is. Jesus is God with skin on that we can connect with. This summer, Terry introduced some of us to the TV series, The Chosen. How many of you have seen The Chosen? Okay, if you haven't seen it, I'm not quite sure how to get it. Terry had the DVDs. It is the best series on the life of Jesus. And my prejudice was when she told me about that, it's going to be cheesy. I think a lot of Christian productions are going to. It is so well done. It is fabulous. And of course, when Jesus comes on the scene, the first thing I think of, well, is that what Jesus looked like? And I go, yeah, Aunt, like, you know what Jesus looked like. You know, I had no idea what Jesus looked like. But what you get after watching this is you see his love. You see his compassion. You see his tenderness. You see how his eyes just pierce to the heart of the people he loves. This is the picture that I now take with me when I think Jesus is with me. That Jesus has been right by your side every moment. He witnessed the hurts, the joys, the loneliness when you were saying, nobody sees this and nobody understands. Jesus saw it all, he sees it all, and he gets it. There's not a feeling you've had. There's not a betrayal, a sense of loneliness, isolation, not being heard, that Jesus did not experience. You can never say Jesus doesn't get it. So that experience you identified when we started, when you felt all alone, later on, I want you to insert Jesus in that memory. My story was when I was 14 years old. My parents were divorced. My dad remarries. Of course, a younger woman. Why is it always a younger woman? And of course, my mother struggled with such rejection. My dad did the stupidest thing, and he said it among other things. He says one of the dumbest things he ever did. He moved the new family into our family home. So my new stepmom, my stepsisters in the room I grew up in, my dad, kind of a businessman. Well, it's just a house here, really. So anyway, my mom and I moved to an apartment, and this whole new family is in our home. Well, my brothers are at college. My dad's trying to work out a new family, and my mom starts drinking. Never knew she was a drinker before. She drank every night. Now, my mom during the day was the most wonderful, loving person, but when she drank, it was a nightmare, and I've never felt so alone. Couldn't tell my brothers. My brothers kind of dismissed it. A sister would have been nice. My dad's busy, and for the love of Pete, I'm not telling my friends, because I was so mortified that it looks like my mom's an alcoholic. You know, you're embarrassed when you're 14 anyway of anything, and then to have your mom doing this. So my memory of those months where I was isolated, I was scared, I was sad for her, and I always resented that I went through that alone. Until I studied this, this changed, this reframed my whole memory of that time. I wasn't alone. Jesus was there by my side. Not a moment or a tear went unnoticed. Now, the good news is my mom stopped drinking, apologized so many times over, and our relationship was wonderful after that. And God sure used it. God uses those hard times. Dave did the greatest sermon. I think I say that about all of his sermons, but he did the greatest sermons on Romans 8:28. Doesn't mean those things are good, but God can bring good out of them. And God taught me such compassion through that year of living with my mom. But it's so comforting now to know I really wasn't alone. Not so mad at my brothers, not so mad at my friends, because I didn't want them to know. But still, it's like, I really wasn't alone. Jesus was there, Jesus carried me through, and Jesus used it. So later on, I want you to think of your story, to see his compassion, his tenderness. He saw you then, and he sees you now. Isn't that what we all crave? Isn't that why we all do the stupid things we do to get attention? To be seen? To be noticed, to be heard. We all have our attempts at getting noticed, being smart, looking good, being successful. Where do you try to get the applause of others? Where do I try to get the applause of others? And you know what? Even when we do, we still come up wanting more, because we were made to be known by the one that created us and is still pursuing us. So Jesus is there in those big moments, but what about those everyday hurts, the fears, the insecurities we all feel? You might be struggling with a hurt because you're left out of a social group. You might get your feelings hurt when you come here, which I hope doesn't happen. You could be struggling in your marriage. Your kids could be scaring you right now. Maybe a harsh word from someone played right into your insecurity. Take these to Jesus. It is in these everyday hurts that we truly need to seek God. What do we ask him? How do you see me? Who am I from your perspective? And what is my part here? When another person doesn't really see me clearly, I get to ask God, how do you see me? Because how God sees me is the truth in who I am. And these hurts that we all struggle with can be a gift into our deeper need for him. If we are going less to these people or less to the world or less to social media to get validation, hopefully we'll dive deeper into Jesus and who he says we are. When I spend time with Jesus in his word, listening to what he says about me, I'm less wounded by others, I'm more forgiving, and I'm much more open to my part. Where do you honestly feel most vulnerable? What takes up space in your mind that you keep hidden? I read two great books by Sarah Haggerty, and a lot of this is from her book, Unseen, and she also wrote a book, Adore, that a lot of our group did as their devotional over the summer. You know, and she told one of her kids said, so-and-so says I'm fat. So my sister says I'm lazy. So-and-so says I can't do my homework. And so Sarah sat down, she drew a picture of a head, and she said, tell me everything everybody's saying about you. So she wrote down lazy, not a good worker. So she wrote down all these things that were going on in this child's head. I thought, we all need to do this. And she goes, look at sweetie, there's no room left for God's truth about who you are. You have filled it up with all these lies. And I thought, how often do we fill up our head with all these lies? So David says, your right hand will hold me fast and it will guide me. God wants us to bring these lies, these hurts, to the light, to the knowledge that God delights in us, even when we feel like we least deserve it. For the rest of our lives, we're going to have those vulnerable parts that need the reassurance of God's love. And that love is what we've always been looking for. And I think when we seem needy, what are we really looking for? We're looking for that love that God gives us. So we need to come out from behind our bushes and trust God with what he already knows, and he's waiting to heal. So last summer, I had a reunion with my high school friends. It was so much fun. There were six of us, and I'm from a small town, so most of us had known each other, some of us since kindergarten. We were all talking about how well we knew each other's families, and we probably dated each other's brothers, and, you know, it's a small town. And it was so fun. We're sitting around talking about all the fun stuff we did growing up together. And I said, well, you guys, I have to tell you what I was going through when I was 14. I said, my mom was drinking every night. All six of them go, yeah, we knew. I went, what? And I said, you know, yeah, we all knew. first words out of my mouth were, how embarrassing. And they go, why are you embarrassed? That's not on you. And I thought that was the most healing thing. That's not on you. And I said, oh, I guess it's not on me. And they go, and really, Ann, not on your mom either. Your mom was a great mom. Look at the rejection. I mean, my mom ended up being everybody's favorite mom. And she goes, it was a short time. It did not define who she was. It did not define who you were. And they said, so how long do you think you hid it? And I go, 50 years. I didn't hide it very well. But this is so like God. First, he gives us grace. This is not on you. And second, this does not define you. Jesus defines us. But what if this is on me? What if it really is about my sin? Then we are tempted to run and hide. But this is exactly when we need to run the fastest to Jesus. And I'll tell you, last night, this was on me. I was so in sin and ugly and impatient with my sweet husband last night. I had just come off 5 days of babysitting. So I was a little tired. Came home, none of my PowerPoint came through on the computer, and at 9 o'clock, I'm redoing the whole thing. And if you know, Kim comes in and says, can I help you? No! Do you want to use my computer? No, I'm going to figure out this one. I was a witch because I was so frustrated. I was physically tired. As Terry always says, Satan lives in these computers. If you want to know where he is. You know. I was so frustrated, and I thought, this is one of those times. Yeah, no, this is on me. And I love 1 John 1:9 so much. Don't let sin separate you from God. Don't waste a moment. The minute Kim was smart, he seemed to go to bed kind of early last night, get out of my way. And this morning when I go, I am so sorry. I was such a witch. I'm so sorry. I was impatient. I was tired. And he just, well, you were frustrated. Yeah, I was a frustrated witch, but I'm so sorry. But don't waste time. I think this is when we're likely to hide the most. We hide from those we love. We hide from God. And I will never forget what Christina said last week. He delights to forgive. I've always known he's faithful to forgive. I go, really? He delights in forgiving me? Why? Why does he delight in it? He wants that relationship. He wants us connected. Sin separates us. He doesn't want the separation. And yet we don't take advantage of that. Here he wants to heal the brokenness. So all of us are hiding some parts of ourselves. Or we think we are. So where are you trying to be strong? Where is your hurt? What insecurities plague you? God wants our broken parts. He wants to exchange the lies for his truth about who we are. Stop hiding. Come out vulnerable and raw to the one that has delighted in you since he knit you in your mother's womb. So just as we listen to the next song, I just challenge you guys to really insert Jesus into your story.